Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Ledge. Hello, everyone at Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian, chairman of the Building Materials Projectile Staging and Logistics Committee of the Western Florida Guild of Professional Anarchists, Local Chapter 151, Wiley. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Doing all right, doing all right. I will say this. I'm very happy to see that the growth of the beard is continuing.
Yes, yes. It's in its, I would say at this point it's toddler phase.
Yeah, that's yeah. That area is where I'm normally at.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in the toddler phase.
Yeah. What, do you trim it or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, I always trim it
so
at this
So you don't
point.
Let it go beyond the toddler phase is what you're saying.
No, not really, because I don't.
Yeah.
It always looks cleaner this way.
Yeah.
So.
You know, for as much as you like my long flowing beard, how come you never grow one?
I know when I've tried, it just never looked right.
Yeah,
and it felt like it didn't go as far as yours goes.
Well, the problem is you've got to just get through that awkward Amish phase. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah. You have to go through it, man, because for a while it just looks stupid, and you know you have to get past that until it goes into the long straight. But
yeah,
maybe some people's doesn't ever; it just stays all curly. Yeah,
I do think that beards come in differently for people, man.
Yeah, probably.
Like you've
so.
Seen some that are glorious and some that suck.
Right.
Like some people can just grow a good beard.
Right.
Like especially the people that have like the big like a thick deal.
Right.
And all the way around. Yours is really more like either a crazy old man or a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah. It which is exactly the look
like
I go
either
for.
Way. You should yeah. say stuff that I don't understand.
Don't I always? You know what
I mean? No, I mean like I don't even understand the language that you're speaking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like you should be talk either crazy like, old man,
right? Yeah,
or like you should be speaking Farsi.
I should be talking like someone who sets himself on fire in front of a courthouse, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Which we'll talk about momentarily.
Yes. Yes.
But you this week had something that you were really excited about.
Yeah. So Saturday worked around, and okay. So here's what happened. So Saturday. We down I went to Broad Street Brewing because there's a new, me and Danielle went to Broad Street Brewing because there was a new brewery.
Right.
And it just kind of opened up. So I'm like, well, let's go down there. Now I know where Broad Street is mm-hmm. in downtown Brooksville.
Right.
So I kind of park on Broad Street.
Right.
Thinking like, well, it's
Broad
downtown.
Broad Street Brewing
it's
is gonna probably going to be somewhere
on Broad Street,
downtown.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
So I look though. This thing is not on Broad Street. It's right. on Jefferson.
Okay.
Which is a little bit, if you know anything about Brooksville, it's very hilly in
yeah.
certain areas.
Right.
In this part of Brooksville. So I end up parking in the wrong spot. We end up walking down, have to go all the way down, and we get to Broad Street. And it was a nice place. Place was nice. Super nice place. But the reason I end up being able to watch the movie was we were also very hungry,
mm-hmm.
and they had a lobster food truck that was going to be there.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh. So a few times that you get the good lobster food truck, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And I was like, lobster mac and cheese, my favorite mac and cheese, lobster mac and cheese. I'm like, I'm totally going to have this. So we get there a little bit before 4, so like 3:45.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk up to the food truck, and they're like, well, we're not serving till 4, or we're not doing anything till 4. We're not open till 4, basically.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, cool, no big deal.
I'll come back.
Now, don't get me wrong.
15 minutes.
They could have ordered. They could have placed my order, but they didn't. But
they might not have been ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I kind of backed off and went back inside and was drinking a little bit, trying. And the Broad Street only had like 5 of their own beers, and they had a bunch of other beers from other people. And so sat there, took some pictures, talked to the bartender for a little bit. Get time to be 4:00.
Right.
I'm like, all right, go back out there. Now, mind you, this is a lobster food truck,
mm-hmm.
and in food trucks. Whatever they're serving, like if it's lobster, then everything on their menu has lobster in it,
right.
basically.
Yeah.
Except for like one or two things, but yeah. almost everything has lobster in it.
Sure.
So I walk back up to try to order the lobster, and they're like, well, the lobster's going to take a while. Not even that they're going to take my order, by the way. They won't take, they're not taking my order. They're like, well, the lobster's going to be a little bit. We got to put it on this or whatever they got to do.
Right. Yeah.
I was so.
It's like, that's what you serve.
Here's the thing.
If you're open and you're a lobster food truck, the lobster should be ready when you open.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a lobster food truck. You're not a lobster restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're
a
lobster.
Even if you were, you don't walk into a lobster restaurant when they open and say, I'd like the lobster, please. And they say, oh, sorry. The lobster's not ready.
Here's the thing. The other option you could have done was to take my order and say, it'll take a couple minutes. We'll bring it into you when it's ready.
Right.
They didn't do that. Right. It's like they didn't want my order.
So, maybe they looked you over and decided that you were not the appropriate lobster food truck clientele.
I mean, it's possible.
It's quite possible.
I was in Brooksville, though, so I got to tell you, I was at least equal to what was going on in Brooksville.
That's true. That's true. I would say in Brooksville, you're a solid five.
Yeah. I was in the range.
Right.
So I end up like, okay, I'm like, you know what? No worries, and I walk away.
Right.
Don't argue with them. Right. Don't get mad, even though inside I'm fuming.
Oh, right? Of course. Yeah, you're raging.
So I'm like, oh, this motherfucker. So I walk back inside. I'm like, hey, look, let's tab out here, Danielle. We'll go somewhere else.
Right.
The bartender catches wind of this.
Right.
And they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, look, man, this ain't your fault.
Right.
I'm not blaming you. But it's like they don't want to serve me out there for the lobster food truck. Now, this brewery has the ability, because they have like another restaurant down the road from them,
right?
And so they're telling everyone in there to just order from the menu here instead of going to the food truck,
right?
So I kind of probably screwed. No, they screwed themselves,
right? Yeah,
because I wasn't even going in there bitching. I was actually just talking to Danielle. I was like,
right?
And they're like, what the fuck? Like, whatever. So we go and. Like, well, let's go find something to eat, right? So we start traveling, going down the road. And
this is a really long story, by the way.
It's taking a little bit. So finally we get to, like, the movie theater. We get near where the movie theater is. And I'm like, you know what? Civil War's going on right now. Let's see if we can go watch this. Because we talked about it. I'm like, I want to go watch this.
Yeah, right.
So we go in and we watch the movie, Civil War, instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, this movie, and I can't even believe that they did it. Some of it's to the detriment of the movie, maybe, but not really, though. They really took politics, like, you don't know why what happened.
Right.
In the movie.
Yeah.
So there's no way, like, you don't know if Nick Offerman is a Democrat or Republican or whatever, right?
Right.
All you know is certain things. Like, all you know is that it's a third term. You know that he has shot reporters and he disbanded the FBI.
Right.
Now, I've listened to some reviews, and some reviews saying he's like Trump. That's not true.
All right.
He said some things that you could say could be Trump-ish, but it actually, he said some things that would be presidential-ish more than Trump-ish.
Right.
But don't get me wrong. You could, if you're Warshacking this,
yeah,
you could see Trump in there if you want to see.
Come out.
And this is the point of the movie. If you're trying to implement your own biases into the movie because they didn't put it in there.
Yeah.
And so the Western forces in the movie were represented by Texas and California.
And that is exactly why, because that was the whole thing, is everyone was saying that, and I haven't seen the movie yet, but in just, you know, hearing what people have said about it, about how it's so politically neutral. That is, because everyone thought at first, how weird is it that they made Texas and California together in an alliance?
And they don't explain it.
And they don't explain it. They did that intentionally.
Yes.
Because you take, Texas, which is pretty much as right as it gets, okay?
Uh-huh.
And California, which is pretty much as left as it gets, mm-hmm. okay? And you put them in alliance, nobody can say, oh, because if it was like the, you know, Texas, whatever alliance, if it was a Texas-Florida alliance, people would more assume that that was like a right wing.
Okay. Yes.
Or if it was the West Coast Alliance, you know, Florida or California, Oregon, Washington, people would assume that was left wing.
Yes.
But when you put California and Texas in the same alliance, it takes the current red blue politics completely out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I that was actually a brilliant move. And that's why everyone was questioning that from when the trailer came out. How would California and Texas be in the same alliance? So I got to give them credit for, because they worked really hard to pull that off, and apparently they pulled it off plausibly.
Yeah, okay, kind of. Here's the thing. They didn't give it a reason.
Right.
So without giving it a reason, it's not like you even pulled it off or not, but the movie wasn't about
that. Well, here's
that,
the thing
though.
About Civil Wars. When you really boil it down to, especially, you know, if any Civil War is coming in America, you know, in our near future, there's no real reason. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't the point of the movie.
There's no real political reason. There's reasons, but they ultimately don't have a lot to do with politics. And that's the irony of it.
Look, here's the thing. You could argue that this movie was more about a road trip and journalists than about the Civil War itself.
Yeah.
The Civil War is the backdrop of it, but it wasn't the focus of the show.
Right.
And that was a good thing in some aspects because it would give you like what's going on in the rest of the country or what's going on in parts of the country while this is going on at the same time. And in a weird way, this movie could be a warning or not.
Okay.
Depending on, because again, there's certain things that they talk about in the movie because they have this big hole of like, you don't know what is going on. You're really paying attention and watching the movie looking for signs that can point you in one direction or not.
Right.
It's almost like being blind and then being able to hear better.
Right.
That's what the movie was like.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there were definitely...
That's brilliant.
Oh, it was. Oh, no, it was. The one scene that's like the real pivotal, one of the pivotal scenes is the one where they got that blonde guy with the red glasses on.
Yeah.
You ever seen that,
one? Yeah, right.
Okay, what he was doing, give a spoiler away.
Spoiler alert. Turn your radio off if you don't want to hear it.
So he's in the middle of filling a mass grave.
Right.
And his question to everybody was, what kind of an American are you?
Right.
And... that part they showed. Now, there were, again, the workup to this was a little weird because, like, it was, these are all journalists that were involved.
Right.
The one guy said, well, you know, I'm from Hong Kong. No hesitation at all. Shot the motherfucker right then and there on the fucking spot.
Oh, wow.
Like, they were massive. He was putting salt on these bodies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because he was digging mass graves. Now, I don't know which faction he was from, and that's the thing. You don't know who's fighting who in most of this, which was done intentionally. Like, there was one scene where they were trying to go down this road, and there was a sniper that was in this big house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I saw that clip. Who are you shooting at? The people that are shooting at us are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, well, it makes sense.
Right, yeah.
Like, it makes sense. And so, like, it was a really messed up movie. And then the ending scene, like the ending part is when, so like these camera people are trying to
another
get to
spoiler
the,
alert.
Yeah, told spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
So the ending scene, and they did have, now there was one reference, kind of a reference, but not really. You had to know more in order to know this was a reference or not. Or even if it was. There, in one of the scenes, it was earlier on, is that you had guys in Hawaiian shirts with like tactical gear on, but then the Hawaiian shirt was, you know, they were wearing the Hawaiian shirt, then put the tactical gear over.
Kind of a Proud Boys thing.
Like a Boogaloo Boys or something
yeah.
I think, or whatever.
Yeah.
We're fighting guys in uniforms.
Right.
And those Boogaloo Boys won, and they killed all of them.
Right.
Like, they just shot them.
Right.
And again, nobody's taking anybody captive or prisoner in this thing. They're just shooting people.
Right.
And the reporters, and again, it's more of a story about reporters than it is anything else. But in the ending scene that's going on, the reporters are all pissed off because they're like, oh, the Western forces are going to be able to take Washington, D.C. before they're going to be able to get there to interview the president, because they want to go to try to interview the president.
Right.
But they also want to try to get the money shot. And the money shot here is a picture of the president dead.
Right.
The Western forces are under orders, shoot on sight. Like, there's no negotiating with this
Kill
with the
this
president.
Guy.
The president is going to get killed. Right.
Right.
And so the last scene is a workup from like near the White House. To get into the White House, to get into the Oval Office.
Right.
And this whole scene is kind of going along with that. And there's shooting going on and people are getting killed and stuff. And they get like to the press room, and the one woman who was black, again, there was definitely some diversity of color within the Western forces.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also diversity of color in the other one too. So it wasn't even like that was a tell too much though.
Right.
And so she's out, I'm here to negotiate the release, or, you know, the taking of the president and this and this and blah, 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 blah. And they just shot the bitch.
Right.
Like, they just shot the bitch, and they just kept going and going. And there were people that were loyal to the president, and they kept shooting all them motherfuckers. And then finally they get into the Oval Office, and the reporter at the end was like, hold on a second. And you're thinking, okay, he's going to have some decent, you know, some sense of humanity.
Right.
He's like, you have any final words? He's like, please don't let him shoot me. That'll do. Bam! Killed him.
Nice.
And the end of the movie, in the credits as they're rolling, because the one woman used like old school film. The younger person actually used old school film. And so the picture at the end is like a really... A picture that's coming forward of them, of the money shot with the president being killed.
Right.
But there's no, again, no explanation. I don't know. Here's the thing. He shot people on the White House lawn. He went a third term. He disbanded the FBI. Now, out of all three of those things, two of them can make you the bad guy, but not all three.
Disbanding the FBI? Yeah,
that don't make you the bad guy. Right. At least in my opinion, it doesn't make you the bad guy.
Yeah.
So, and then I've heard some people, I heard Tim Pool on this one. I'm so disappointed in Tim Pool. Like, this is a movie about Trump. It was totally not. If you think this movie's about Trump, you either love Trump too much or hate Trump too much.
Yeah.
Because it is not about him. It is not a, it is, if you think it's him, then that says more about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, and it's, he's like, oh, it's a left-wing propaganda movie. Nah.
Right.
It wasn't. Because the other thing was this, and you didn't see this part, but you heard this part, is that there's people like in the Midwest, in Missouri and Colorado, that are just deciding that they're not going to participate in this, and those places are living normally.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and even in one of the places they went, one of the towns they went to, I mean, you end up seeing the people on the gunmen upstairs, but they're all saying like, we're living normal here. Yeah. We're choosing not to participate in this.
We got a sentries out in case someone decides to come stir up trouble, but we ain't getting involved.
But so it shows you. So part of it is.
And I think that's pretty realistic, honestly.
I think it might be actually. Yeah. Part of this movie was, you know, it's probably a warning to not do this. But part of it was also,
it's not so bad.
If it does happen, move to Missouri or Colorado.
Right.
Like the Florida Alliance, you never really heard so much about the Florida Alliance, but there was the Florida Alliance is like basically what the civil, funny part was, the Florida Alliance, if you look at the map of where the Florida Alliance was.
Right.
And you remember the Confederacy?
Yeah.
Kind of matches.
Yeah. Well.
But they didn't talk about them at all. Like, the Florida Alliance wasn't, other than they couldn't get South Carolina. But other than that, like, there's, you, again, you really have to pay attention to the other stuff going on in the movie. Because the big, huge thing, they're like, we're not going to talk about this.
Well, it, you know, maybe the Florida Alliance just decided to opt out. You know?
It didn't seem, it kind of.
It seemed like they were
fighting. They weren't the prevailing force. Oh, and the other thing was, no international involvement, really. The only thing that was even talked about as far as an as a involvement goes is like U.S. dollars weren't worth as much as Canadian dollars.
Well, that totally would make sense.
Given the thing. Right. But there's no other, like, there's no other nations that are getting involved.
Honestly,
or anything like that.
A civil war in the U.S. would destabilize the entire global economy. You know, without question. I mean, it would just totally change everything. But, well, that sounds like an encouraging movie. You know, I like the whole concept.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing they did talk about also was in there was the reporters, how they get a fucking hard-on for, literally, the guy said, my fucking dick's hard right now when it comes to being involved in combat zones and taking pictures of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they were adrenaline junkies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it was a very interesting movie. I got to tell you, man, it was a really, like, I got to tell you, I liked the movie. I was shocked because whenever you leave the movie and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was number one in the box office this week. So
yeah, but not a big number. It didn't hit a big number, though.
About 25 million. I mean, it's not, you know, Barbie, but it's pretty significant.
Yeah.
It's A24's biggest hit so far.
Yeah. No, and I think they did. Again, I think the movie was done very well.
And thank God for that studio, because they're the only ones making real films these days.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
It was really a good show. I actually want to go watch it again, because I also think that this movie is one of those, like,
you'll see more things.
Yeah. Like, you'll be able to, because the visual of the scenes was telling on the backside, because it was like, you know, there was one that had something spray painted F the WF.
Right.
Or fuck the WF, which was the Western Front.
Right.
So, like, whoever wrote that didn't like those guys.
Right.
So, it was, and again, I think I'm going to find more stuff as you're watching it the next time.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, I'm not going to go to the movie theater and watch it again. I'll wait for video or for streaming or whatever. But, like, it was definitely worth the watch. And again, if you get something, it's a Warshak video or Warshak test. If you got something out of it that was not there, then that was saying way more about you than it was about them.
Yeah, and predominantly people have said that it was politically neutral, you know? I mean, you couldn't really tell who was who, which I think is, it's shocking that the majority of people come away with that opinion, considering that the majority of people are so polarized.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the fact that even the most politically polarized people in a lot of cases are coming away and saying, yeah, I didn't know who was who.
Yeah, like, so Kirsten Dunst, whatever her name is,
right.
She plays the lead
reporter.
Lead reporter in it. Now, right. She got famous because of the Antifa massacre in the movie, right? But you don't know if it's Antifa massacring people or if Antifa
they
got
just
massacred.
Say the Antifa massacre.
They just
right.
say that.
Yeah.
That's one of those areas where you right. can infer whatever you want to infer from it.
That's beautiful.
You don't know.
God, that's fucking
And
brilliant.
I thought it was so hard to do, especially right now. Like, it was such an impossible, like, I felt like it was an impossible movie to make.
Right.
And the fact that they did it, and any reason, like, and here's the thing. The other thing I did was I went and listened to a ton of reviews about it
right.
after the fact, just to see what other people were saying. And most of the reviews were okay. Some of them, people, if you had a bad review, you just didn't get the movie.
Right.
And the one that disappointed me the most was the one this morning. I listened to Tim Pool's. It's so disappointing how far this guy has lost his way, or just grifting now. I don't know which one it is. But, like, the fact is that you really thought this was a lefty movie with Trump is you so missed the mark.
Who is Tim Pool? I don't know.
You don't know Tim Pool. He does. He's a guy. He's somewhat popular out there, but
okay.
Not that you would know that, but it was amazing. I will say this. I love the movie. I thought it was good. I don't know if it's a warning or not. I told Adrian at the end it had a happy ending, but the only reason I said this is because Nick Offerman got shot. Because well, the president got shot at the end. So
the only happy ending for me would be if all of the factions lost.
Yeah, like, that's the thing too. Like, I didn't know if it was a good thing that he died or not. Like,
right.
I didn't know. Like, you, again, you don't even know who the good guys and the bad guys are.
Right. Yeah.
It's not defined.
Yeah.
It's not defined in the movie.
Well, the one who is definitely a bad guy is the guy filling the mass grave. You know, clearly that
oh,
dude
yeah,
was a bad
no, no,
guy.
No. And that yeah. guy was representative of, like, okay, hold on. Here's the other thing. When you see all the different scenes in the movie, right, as you're going on the road trip,
right,
the one thing that it did remind me of was, you know how you had some of those loud and boisterous people that would say really fucking out of line shit at some of the meetings that we used to go to in
yeah.
politics?
Yeah.
If those people actually had the balls to do what they said they were going to do,
mm-hmm.
that part was a little bit of a,
right.
But here's the thing though. That's also, and I gotta admit this to myself, that's me inferring from what I've known before, and
right.
because you left it blank like that, that kind of...
You put your own bias on it.
I put my own bias on
right.
it, which I can tell that I did that, but at the same time, these people did say what they said, and this guy did say what he said.
Right.
So, like, some of it was, like, if you were, like, get rid of the foreigners, like, if anybody, you know,
right.
I don't
yeah.
want anybody that's not American.
Yeah.
That guy was representing that viewpoint.
Right, yeah.
You know, and they were doing it like literally mass grave. Like, the one scene is they got a dump truck coming and it's literally opening up and bodies just falling out.
Right.
Just falling out into this big, you know, this big hole that they're putting all these bodies in.
Yeah.
Which I was almost thinking, like, if there's so much chaos and mass unrest right now, why are you taking the time to just bury them all? I mean, I guess for health reasons maybe, but.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It was a messed up movie, though.
Yeah.
So,
no, looking forward to seeing it.
Now, I said something else before the show, and you wanted me to make sure I brought this up, is that last night I went to Sponge City Brewery mm-hmm. with Kelly, and we already reviewed it, and I actually was talking to the brewmaster. I actually ended up talking to the owner that night too, but I was kind of high, so, like, I probably shouldn't have. She didn't even know anything about the review I did, which is kind of funny, but she doesn't pay attention to any of that shit.
Right.
But I mentioned to you that the one great thing about that place is that you order everything on your phone from, like, a QR code. They have a QR code on the table.
Right.
And you stopped me quickly.
Well, yeah, because I wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I have very rarely ever gotten food as quickly as I've gotten from a place that was this busy. And part of me is going to give it to the QR code for it.
Really?
Here's why. There's no time being wasted with a server coming to me and taking my order.
Right.
Which, don't get me wrong, I normally like that. But this one, you know, you go up and get your beer and then you sit down and you sit at a park bench and then you order your food.
Right.
And you order with the QR code. The food came right out. It was beautiful. it happened quickly, and they have good food. Oh boy, their fries, they had these waffle fries that were like perfect. Now, don't get me wrong, I was pretty high at the time,
right?
So you got to take the curve into account into how good the food was.
I don't care about the food.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what's the problem that you have with the QR code?
There's multifaceted problems with the QR code. Okay. First and foremost, you're putting a waiter out of business. Okay. You're putting waiters literally out of their job. You know, you no longer need someone to take your order. You no longer need someone to, you know, you still need a food runner, but that's not a waiter. You know what I'm saying? So you're taking that person out of the equation. So you're costing people jobs. You're harming the economy. Okay. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is you're harming yourself, because when you take a picture of that QR code, it goes to a website. It drops cookies on your phone. It can drop tracking things. And in fact, it can even install malware on your phone. They're tracking your location. You're going into a database. It's probably accessing your other cookies on the website that you went to go to the menu to help identify you, to put your information into a database to track the food you are. It may actually be tying into your location to find out where you're going to find, you know what I'm saying? So you've actually put a hardworking person out of work, and you're allowing this company to completely track you, steal all your information, and use it for whatever purposes. Plus, you're exposing yourself to potential malware that could actually do even more damage and criminal, losses, to you.
Okay,
so,
hold on.
So all those things are true.
Let me address the number two and three that you made, which are basically the same thing. I will have to agree with you in that aspect. But the first one, let me address this first one, though. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would want to see this done everywhere.
Well, it's going to be done everywhere.
I think regular restaurants that have servers and stuff like that, I wouldn't want to see that there.
Right.
But where at a brewery, especially when there's so much seating outside, I actually really like it.
All right. Well, whatever, dude. But let me just say this. This is the direction the world is going. You know, you can't go through a drive-thru without them. The first thing they ask is, are you ordering on the app? Okay. We are going to a world where everything is going to be robotic. Everything is going to be, completely free of humans in the process. Okay. Which that may just be the nature of our technological advancement. But we're also going to a world where you are tracked constantly, okay, and nothing about your information is private, and you are just seriously you're a consumer cog that your only purpose is to extract as much money as possible from you. Your opinions don't matter. They want to change your desires, your wants, your needs, you know, and all of these things are part. It's a mind control operation. Now, it's not some big nefarious evil stuff. It's just a bunch of greedy people with technology that they don't understand the long-term consequences of. But you are literally exposing yourself to mind control. The other thing about QR codes is I can create a QR code, okay, that and post it everywhere around town. And that QR code, as soon as you click on it, takes you to a site that downloads malicious software on your phone, and I could take over your phone completely, steal your bank account information. And people are just going around, oh, look, a QR code, click. Oh, QR code, click. You have no idea where that's taking you. You have no idea what type of software that's potentially executing, what type of, you know, JavaScript is running in the background of that site you're going to. And it's astounding to me how little people understand the risks that they put themselves at every single day just because, oh, a menu QR code, how neat. You know, the long-term consequences of all of that, it's horrifying to me. Absolutely horrifying. And people just do it. And they have no concept of what they're doing. You know? You are...
God, I hate to tell you what I'm going to tell you next.
Go ahead. You don't care.
No, not only, well, hold on, it's worse than that.
All right, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead.
I'm done. I've said all you people need to know.
Okay, so the Florida Hoppy Brands, so the t-shirt area, right, that we're doing, this is separate from unattended baggage, but
you better fucking
it's
be.
Totally separate from unattended baggage.
I see a QR code on any of our fucking shirts, we're fighting.
I would never put, I'm not going to put a QR code on any of the shirts.
Okay.
So
with the exception, if we do put a QR code on our shirts, it goes to a website that says you're a fucking idiot.
Okay. If you hold on, I would actually think that would be a cool thing.
I would actually do that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So no, but
I could have just owned you.
Yeah. So hold on though. So like when we went out with the shirt, like we go out with these shirts that were from the brewery, is that if somebody says that, hey, you got a nice shirt, I want to hand them a business card with a QR code so they can go to the website and buy the shirt.
Yeah, of course you do. Everybody puts QR codes on their cards now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I won't do it for our shirts, though.
No, you won't. You won't do it for anything with us.
I won't. I won't.
Yeah.
I told you right now I won't.
Yeah.
We'll sell a lot less because of it.
That's fine.
And that's good with you.
If I'm not contributing to the downfall of humanity, then I'm okay not making a few extra bucks.
There you go.
Yeah.
I get you.
Ah, Jesus. You know, so we were talking about the Civil War show. And, you know, one guy who is kind of along that lines actually set himself on fire outside of the Trump trial. You know, and here's the thing. Everyone at first immediately thought that this guy was there to protest, you know, the Trump or something to do with Trump. It was Trumpster, right?
It makes sense.
Yeah. No, no. In fact, and first of all, you know, look. The level of commitment you have to have to set yourself on fire. And I actually saw, I don't know if you saw the full video that, you know, it's not on any of the news, but, you know, the video of actual him doing the whole process.
Oh, wow. They have a video of this?
I found one. You want to.
It's on the link, right?
Yeah. I almost hate to play it, but.
I'm watching it.
All right. Let's, we'll go ahead and. Yeah, this.
Oh, I haven't. Mother. How can
Hang on,
you?
I'm playing it on the air now.
Police! Here. There's a guy lighting himself on fire. He's lighting himself on fire. Hello?
Wow.
Hello? Police!
Yeah. Oof.
Fire!
And of course, you know, this is radio. You can't see it, but he just calmly set himself on fire and
then stood there, and he's still standing there.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, then he goes down to his knees, but just to do that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, to go out that way and to just calmly let it happen, you know, it's horrifying, but it's also in a weird way extremely respectable. Yeah, you know? And I think he's still alive.
He died.
He did die.
It said in the notes that he died.
Okay, all right. That must have just happened. But yeah, it's shocking that he was alive for any period at all.
It says yeah, he died a few hours later.
Okay,
a few hours though.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, those must have been, you know, horrible hours. But one of the things that's interesting is this guy was actually not political per se at all. Okay. And what kind of frightened me is he seemed to have a worldview pretty similar to ours. Okay.
So what came out about this?
All right, listen, here's some of his writings and here's what he said. My name is, and he's from Florida, by the way.
Oh, Florida man.
A Florida man. My name is Max Azzarello, and I am an investigative researcher who has set himself on fire outside the Trump trial in Manhattan. This extreme act of protest is to draw attention to an urgent and important discovery. We are victims of a totalitarian con, and our own government, along with many of their allies, is about to hit us with an apocalyptic fascist world coup. As it turns out, our elites are awash in Ponzi schemes. Stanford StartX investment fund and Jeffrey Epstein's program for evolutionary dynamics he ran at Harvard are both fake science Ponzi factories that these schools have invested billions in. That's actually true. I mean, they shut down the program for evolutionary dynamics because of the connection at Harvard, because of the connection to Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
So again, it's conspiratorial, but he's not wrong. They are filled with fraudulent companies that use smoke and mirrors to promise miraculous new technology, but always collapse while their perpetrators only get richer. Yeah, that's happened many, many times. And Trump is actually doing that right now with his DJT stock, which is just fleecing all of his supporters.
Yeah.
To better understand our form of government, I will point you to one of the most astonishing pieces of standalone evidence I've found. And again, this was strange. But look, this guy is clearly crazy, but he's not that crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something about how Bill Clinton in 1988, you know, nominated Dukakis and things like that. Yeah, and then the writers of The Simpsons went to Harvard. So he goes off on a tangent here. But it's just interesting that... and he ends it with this. This is obviously very bad news, but the biggest lie we've been told is that we are powerless. We've got one way out of hell world, and that's for the public to realize that we've been conned completely so we can build a united movement that shatters every lie they've told us, mocks this rotten farce as loudly as it deserves, and aims at nothing short of abolishing our criminal government so we can build one that serves the public. Yeah. So he wasn't on a, you know, left-right tangent. You know, he's was an anti-government guy, essentially, who went, you know, too far down the rabbit hole on a lot of these things.
You know,
but there was bases. There were little nuggets of truth in some of the things he was talking about.
Hold on. The paragraph before the one you read, mm-hmm. Liberals mock the hypocrisy of conservatives. Conservatives mock the hypocrisy of liberals, and our collective circumstances erode. The left shouts all cops are bastards, which ensure they'll be hated by the police and the police. And flies in the face of leftist theory. The public distrust of government is at an all-time high, but so is the belief that we are helpless to do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually he made some interesting points here. He says, social media owned by crypto criminals like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk is flooded with nonsense conspiracy theories and memes reminding us that we are hopeless, helpless, anxious, depressed, ironic, scared, apathetic, escapist, lonely, misguided, and jaded, telling us that we can't do anything but having a laugh at our circumstances. You know, that's actually a well-thought-out analysis. Again, this guy was not, you know, insane. Clearly, this guy had some problems if he's going to set himself on fire. But then again, if he wanted to bring this to light and this was his way of doing it, we're talking about it now. The whole world's talking about it. You know, I don't know if they're talking about it as the same way. I think the vast majority of people just saw, you know, crazy guy set himself on fire and had a manifesto.
You know, I've listened to the people when they talk about the manifestos. Like if there was a mass shooter,
right,
you don't want to read the guy's manifesto out loud because you don't want to give him publicity for
right.
what he did, right?
No, I think you want to know why.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. However, on when it comes to these people, I definitely want to read them.
Yes.
If you were willing to hurt yourself,
right,
not anybody else, if you were willing to hurt yourself and to set yourself on fire to try to make a point, you know what, man? I think I owe it to myself to at least be able to read what the hell you just wrote.
Yeah. And he did it in the middle of a closed off area with no one around him.
Yeah, there was no way somebody else was going
to
get hurt.
He went out of his way to not hurt anyone else.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he totally did.
Yeah.
Like when you watch the video...
I'm going to give this guy, a listen, you know, but I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing, though, man. Now it's starting to happen more often. You get these people that are burning themselves. And this guy, I got to tell you, man, the calmness that these guys have.
Right.
Like, I don't think I could do that.
No, God, no. Yeah.
There's a way to go, man, setting myself on fire is not going to be one of them.
Yeah, right.
That's way too much
pain. If I'm going out, I'm taking, you know, a handful of Oxy or something. You know what I'm saying? Nice, peaceful, just go to sleep. I ain't doing that.
Yeah, man, I'm not trying to get crazy.
And
like
I sure as hell ain't killing myself for some political agenda. But yeah, again, this is, you know, you got to give this guy. And it's funny because they put this out as how crazy he was and some of the things that he chose to focus on, like The Simpsons, you know, again, that's just, you know, that's out there, you know, but some of the things he's saying are, you know, again, half of all conspiracy theories, half true. You know, there's, you always find kernels of truth in a lot of these things. So, but, that's just a damn shame, you know?
Yeah. I'm just, you know, again, I don't want to, man, I couldn't do it. I could not be that person.
No, No. And, you know, we see this a lot now. The self-immolation thing is apparently big again. I mean,
it's getting there. It's firing up.
Buddhist monks used to do it, you know.
Yeah.
But now we see, like, just regular people doing it all the time.
Yeah.
You know? We had another case here in Tampa.
Another Florida man. Yeah. Hey, look, Florida people are setting up. It's Jesus. So hot in Florida, they'd rather be on fire. So don't come.
Do we need a t-shirt for, yeah. I don't think you can actually collect that achievement unlocked. Because if you do that, who do we send the t-shirt to?
No, it's like a Medal of Honor winner. Yeah. Or if you got the Medal of Honor, more likely you died.
Yeah, yeah. Or Darwin Award.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't even want to give him a Darwin Award. I kind of feel like
This is not a Darwin Award. No. This yeah. No, Darwin Award you get for doing something really stupid. This guy knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. But in Tampa, a man who fatally shot himself Wednesday in the parking lot near the Florida Department of Transportation and Florida Highway Patrol offices. That's actually wrong. That's not what that's called. In Tampa, had to hold a receptionist on the phone let's start over. Jesus, this is a horribly written sentence. A man who fatally shot himself Wednesday in a parking lot near the Florida Department of Transportation and Florida Highway Patrol offices in Tampa had told a receptionist on the phone that he had a bomb and was going to drive his car into the building, according to police. Okay. Officers found multiple weapons, high-capacity magazines, and gas tanks inside the man's car, according to Police Chief Lee Burkaw. As of 9 p.m., officials are still working to identify some of the items in the car, which was described as a small SUV. But apparently there's no note as to why he was doing these things. But yeah, I guess he was planning to blow up the Florida Department of Transportation. Maybe he's just tired of road construction. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about, like, why.
Right.
And yeah. I guess they don't know yet.
Apparently not. But I guess the receptionist do.
Like, if you're going to pull some shit like this, can you at least let everybody know why?
Yeah. Yeah. Please? Yeah. Otherwise, you just come off as crazy. Well, you're going to come off as crazy anyway. But, you know, at least let us know what led to your craziness. But, yeah, it's, you know.
It's like that guy that drove the plane into the FBI or into the IRS building.
Right.
I know why you did it.
Yeah, yeah. That one we get.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's funny because, yeah, maybe we are taking a step closer to civil war, you know, with these type of things going on all the time. If these type of people are willing to die to expose what they feel are faults in government. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on. I forget. In the Civil War movie, in the beginning of the movie, there's a woman that was running toward... People were looking for water, right?
Right.
And there's this woman that's running towards...
What part of the country was this in?
New York.
New York, okay.
This woman was running towards the group of people waving an American flag, right? With a big one, right? Right. And then the reporter saw it and was like, oh, shit, she's going to bomb it. And literally just bombed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a suicide bomber.
Just people getting water in line for water, huh?
Yeah, and this woman suicide bombed him.
Wow. Wow.
Running with an American flag.
Wow.
So, again, it's weird. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, everybody always thinks, can't happen here. Yeah.
Oh, hold on. That was the other thing. Is right. That we've said this before. The difference between a patriot and a terrorist... Really depends on perspective.
One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And right. So it was one of those things where...
What kind of American are you?
Like, yeah, yeah. You don't know exactly where... Like, when this happens, are you moving... Hold on. Like, almost like if this happens, are you moving to Texas or are you moving to Missouri? And I would think...
I'm getting on a boat.
Seemed like the middle of the country was going to be all right.
Though. Yeah, yeah. Flyover country is probably your best bet.
Yeah. No, and that's where most of it was, like Colorado, Missouri. Like, these people just aren't participating.
Yeah. No, good. We're sitting this one out. Well, I hope Florida decides to sit one out.
I don't think it will, though.
I don't know.
CENTCOM's here.
I don't know.
Well, I don't think they're going to be allowed to
Florida,
sit this one out.
Florida would have to have its own civil war. Yeah. There'd have to be a civil war within Florida because there's three different Floridas. And each one of them's very different.
Yeah. Well, that's true, though. Yeah. No, that's true.
But see, that's the thing. And going back to the whole Civil War motif, is everyone says that there could never be a Civil War because the United States government is so strong. Well, guess what? California and Texas opt out of the United States. they now have the second and third largest militaries in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you think,
not the second and third, but both of them by themselves would be in the top 10 militaries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you take all the assets and troops that are in California and all the assets and troops that are in Texas, and if they were loyal to their state, I mean, like, in the end of my book, The Cassandra Trigger,
available on Amazon,
there is a civil war, and that's what I talked about, is you had, even within certain geographic areas, you had military bases that, like, certain units went one way and certain units went the other way.
Yeah.
You know, and they were literally fighting each other because it was based on ideology, you know. So, you know, it was, we're doing this for this group under the command of so-and-so, and we're doing this for this group. And that's, you know, the kind of thing that would happen. So when you talk about the United States military, well, as soon as, you know, this something like this happens, the military is going to split. They're going to go along whatever lines the country is breaking up, and you have no idea how that's going to play out.
They're going to go along the lines of where their families are at.
Exactly. Or not necessarily, yeah, or where their ideology is at, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, and you know, you brought something up just now, and I want to expand on it a little bit.
Okay.
Is that when you listen to a lot of Democrats about how you can't go against the government, you
know, right,
you can't go against the federal government, it really is such a misleading thing to say.
Right. The fucking Taliban beat us.
And it's purposely misleading.
Really?
As one person up against the military or up right against the government,
right,
you're going to lose that game every time.
Right.
I totally grant you that.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't need all this. You wouldn't need missiles and nukes and things like that.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. But the government against everybody.
Oh, it doesn't have to be.
And there's no. Remember when we ran the numbers, or when you ran the numbers,
right,
which you did a really good job of, you gave them so many benefits of the doubt,
right,
that, like, so many people would still turn their weapons in voluntarily. You
right
gave them good numbers for that.
Yeah.
And still, with all the benefit of the doubt,
hundreds of thousands of people died.
Yeah. If they were even to do it.
Yeah.
And how many kids were going to be killed.
Right.
Because when you're looking at numbers that big, then you can actually say, this is how many would die.
When you run the simulations, you know, even with the most rosy projections, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people will say, yeah, nobody can fight the federal government. But if you say, you know, if 1% of the population decided to fight the federal government, you are talking about a guerrilla force that is about four times larger than the entire enlisted military personnel in the government fighting a guerrilla war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a war that at best case scenario for the federal government is a stalemate. It's one you just can't win it unless you're make the decision that you're just going to decimate your entire population. And then what good is, you know, if you start just randomly killing civilians, you're going to turn more people against you. So here the government can never win an insurgent war. That's the thing that nobody understands.
I think they do understand.
Yeah, right. And that's why, but they don't want to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, they do understand.
Yeah.
But that's why they also say they use the wrong argument. They'll say, well, you know, you are not going to be able to beat F-16s and this and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
They're not going to be like, yeah, the Taliban fucking kicked their ass because they were all underground. Or
right
in Vietnam, it was, you know, definitely they weren't a better force than us.
Right.
And yet they were able to beat us.
The only way that a government force wins that war if they start carpet bombing cities.
And the rest of them fall in line.
Yeah.
And
right,
even then, they're not going to fall in line. They're
no,
just going to go underground.
You're just going to make people more pissed and probably have more insurgents next time around.
Yeah.
You know?
Hold on a second here. Remember this. You killed one guy in Ruby Ridge, or you killed a family of people, not a whole family, but you killed a bunch of people in Ruby Ridge and Waco, and they bombed one of your buildings.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Waco, Ruby Ridge was what happened with the Murrah building.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That was one guy with a truck full of fertilizer.
Exactly.
Well, it was a couple people involved, but
yeah. But yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's so.
How many Ruby Ridges are you going to be able to pull off before everybody starts doing that shit to you?
Yeah, yeah. And even the you know, here's the thing. And you're either going to turn your supporters against you if you escalate, or you're going to end up killing them. You know,
yeah.
you're gonna kill your own supporters, because you know, if you've got a town full of people where 5% are insurgents, you know, and you can't weed them out, you know,
you got to kill everybody. I mean, if you're gonna do it,
and the next town over is gonna be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, hold on. And the other thing is this: if you think for one second that you could bring in a foreign force to try to subdue the population,
oh yeah, that never happened.
Here's
yeah.
the thing: as of right now, 2022. The total number of guns produced for the U.S. market reached 494 million. The number of circulation is lower due to attrition, but how many, they don't even actually know. So let's just say there's 300 million. Let's use the lowest number right. that there is.
Yeah.
300 million guns. You're not going to be able to get those guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the second you start trying to get those guns, you're going to have some fucking problems.
Right.
First off, who the fuck are you going to get them?
Well, was there anything about disarmament in the... in this thing? Probably not.
No,
because that would
no,
have been,
nothing about
that would
that.
Have been political.
No, nothing yeah. about that. Nothing about disarmament.
Yeah, because if anyone was trying to take
everybody had guns there. Right. Everybody had guns in this
yeah,
one.
Which is,
except for the reporters. None of the reporters had guns.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're reporters.
So you're saying they wouldn't even have a gun to... Well, I guess they can't.
Yeah, of course. No,
oh, they can't have a gun to protect
themselves.
If
they're armed, they become combatants and targets.
Oh, yeah. All right, never mind.
They
you're
have
right.
to be unarmed under the rules of warfare.
Okay,
you know?
I got you.
So, but yeah, it's... crazy. Anyway, speaking of warfare, you know, a lot going on the and we didn't put a lot of articles up on this, but let's just do a quick brief. Iran and Israel are trading blows, but it's kind of a slap fight, you know.
Okay, here's the thing, man. Okay, and again, you got to tell the story right if you're going to tell the story.
Okay,
Israel bombed an embassy.
Right.
Killed
consulate.
Three of their consulate and
right.
killed three of their generals, right?
Right.
In response to that, Iran did hundreds of missiles
right.
at Israel.
Right.
That they told them they were going to do a couple right. days ahead of time.
And they knew that the vast majority of them were going to be intercepted.
And they were only picking
and,
military
and
targets.
And they targeted military targets, yep.
And like one Palestinian girl got hurt.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And then Israel's like, well, we have
a few
to...
soldiers were lightly injured.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah,
which again,
nothing.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Iran, you did a military move against Israel. That's totally whatever. You
right.
know, totally what happened.
Yeah.
But then Israel ignores the fact that they were the ones that started it.
Right. No. But what Israel did is they did something very similar to what Iran did. Okay. They launched an attack that they knew would be almost completely harmless. And that's what both sides have done, which is actually a very good sign for the fact that this probably will not escalate, at least over this incident. It could escalate in the future, but it's not going to escalate over this. Okay. And I don't think Iran's going to respond to this one again. Okay. Because basically, you know, Israel was the aggressor in this. Well, and again, Iran is funding Hezbollah. Iran's funding the Houthis. You know, so it is kind of a proxy war with Israel. You know, nobody has clean hands in this. Okay.
No, that's true.
But the point is that both of these nations right now are like, this reminds me of like 1800s gentlemen who would take their glove off and slap each other with it. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind
you've
of
you've insulted my honor, sir.
Yeah. Yes, and that's exactly what's going on between them. So if anyone out there is worried about this particular event being escalatory, it's not. This is actually, even though it looks like it because they're shooting missiles and drones at each other, this is actually a de-escalation process. And I think it's probably run its course. I don't think Iran is going to respond again. Yeah. You know? So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least not directly.
Yeah. I mean, because look, here's what Israel did. Israel struck an airbase in a town that is full of buildings that house Iran's nuclear program. Okay. So what they did is they told Iran, look, we can hit these targets, these high value targets that we would love to see eliminated, but we're not going to do that. We're just going to hit this little air base over here, and you know, we're going to send over drones in such a way that you're probably going to shoot down 95% of them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what they both did. And just like Iran, they targeted an air base and told Turkey. They told Turkey in advance, which, again, they did have to fly over Turkey's airspace a little bit. So, you know, they were telling that, hey, we're going to be flying stuff over your airbase. But they're telling a NATO member. You know?
Yeah.
So who do you know that's going to get back to? Well, it's going to get back to the U.S. Well, mm-hmm. if it gets to the U.S., who's it going to get to? It's going to get to Israel. So essentially, you know, all of these plays were done in such a way that each side could launch an attack to make themselves feel better. Okay. And it would do absolutely minimal damage to the other side. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's and they both know this. And this was actually it's funny because, you know, I forget who said that war is the ultimate form of diplomacy. This was purely diplomatic in its nature, these various attacks. Now, moving on to another issue, Ukraine and Russia. It looks like the vote is actually being held today, I believe, in the Senate. I think the House actually passed a funding bill for Ukraine, also for Israel. Which
they were all separate votes, though, I think.
Oh, they were separate votes. Okay. You know, so that's looking good. But it's interesting because when we apparently Biden was telling Ukraine, do not target Russian oil refineries. Because Biden doesn't want gas prices going up before the election, because that's a good way not to get reelected.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does look like
The quartet of bills. So there's four bills.
Right.
Ukraine, Israel, and a TikTok ban.
Oh, yeah. The TikTok ban.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. That actually could be what triggers the civil war.
Yeah. Is the TikTok ban?
Yeah. But I think that war will probably be all online.
Nah.
Because, you know, anyone who actually is going to be that upset by a TikTok ban probably doesn't go outside much.
Probably not.
And I doubt many of them have fired a gun.
Yeah. You know? All right. So, like, look, you know what it is? I tell you that right now. Like, people are all mad at Mike Johnson for this. And again, Mike Johnson has proven himself to be a complete flip-flopper.
Right.
Like, you were so against this stuff, and now you're a speaker. You're trying to get it all through. So, like, part of me is, like, mad at the guy, but the other part of me is like, well, what did you expect?
Right.
Like, I feel like it's a very cynical.
A politician lied to you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah, no. So, you knew he was going to do it, and now they're threatening to get rid of him, so there's just going to be more gridlock. I think after this vote, they're going to try to get rid of him again, and then.
Yeah, but I think the Democrats are going to save him this time.
I think unlike last time, last time with McCarthy, they didn't.
Right.
But with this guy, I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, well, I think everyone is just so sick of, you know, the Gates and the Greens and the, you know, all the fucking just. Yeah, look, they're all either evil or stupid, but some of them
are both,
are a level of moronic that is hard to express because it far surpasses what most people experience in their daily lives.
Oh, you know what they all are, though?
Marjorie Taylor Greene is just dumber than a fucking box of rocks.
But you know what else they all are, though?
Huh.
Grifters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without question.
And that's the part. The fact that they'll go this far.
They're all liars. They're all scumbags. And none of them should be making decisions that affect your life.
Yeah. I don't want them to pick what I'm eating for lunch.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to hang out with these people.
I wouldn't let them order for me at Denny's.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to hear from them. I don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah.
You know? But yet they're controlling the outcome of our lives.
No, because they're so smart, dude. They're so freaking smart, man. It's amazing. It's amazing how smart they are.
Gotta go vote. Because
vote harder.
You gotta get someone in to replace some other.
I'm voting for weed, though.
Evil moron.
You know, I don't give a crap what you say, by the way. I'm voting for weed.
Just do it, man.
Because by next 420, happy 420, by the way.
Oh, happy 420.
And then hopefully by next 420 it'll actually be legal in Florida.
That would be nice, but you know, the bottom line is you know, just live your life, disobey the stupid laws, and be happy. You know, that's the secret to life. But folks, we got a lot more to talk about. If you'd like to hear what we have to talk about in the second hour, go to patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. Sign up, become a subscriber. You get a whole bunch of swag and an extra, at least extra hour of content every week. We'll see you there. patreon.com/unattendedbaggage.